If you are a beginner, if you are within your first 6 months of lashing, application, precision application with high quality products that are ergonomic and safe for the client and are tested and are time tested, do all that first. Once you get to 3 week retention with your clients and you're comfortable with your setup, you're feeling good, your clients are feeling good. Once you have become so confident in all of those areas of your career, then I think UV Systems becomes option for you that if it fits well with what you're doing,
then you can consider
by all means.
But it is like an additional thing you're adding on top, which we still believe that it is important to master the fundamentals first before you add that on top.
Always ask why. Why is this the way it is?
The whole goal is to rise the industry, to grow it.
Yeah, don't worry about giving us credit, guys. We're not here for that.
If it grows the industry, that's what makes me happy.
When you first said it, I was going to hang up.
Yeah. It's not a race you want to win.
Yeah, you're going to lose because it'll be too cheap. You'll be working for like McDonald's money. Otto Minter, onto our show from Alibana.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me on board.
Okay, we'll take 20.
I can't do math. I'm a beauty professional.
Yeah, thanks. Tanning, I do teeth whitening. I'm like, okay, there's some point where you got to draw a line.
My biggest concern is longevity and making sure that you've got the best possible mechanical fit. If you're looking for a lash podcast that will challenge how you do lashes, build you up, and help you create a business that not only thrives, but allows you to live a life you're proud of, you've come to the right place.
This is LashCast, your friend in the lash industry.
Coming to you from the City of Roses, this is the broadcast by Lash Professionals and for Lash Professionals. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Today, we're excited to welcome back to the studio Maddie and Elliot from Lightheart Lash and My Lash Two Brain Cells podcast. They have been doing their own studies recently on the UV light. In fact, they've been doing their own, as I said, research, right? Everyone's been thinking, everyone's wondering, and just like us, they last year when this all started blowing up said, you know what, we need to make sure this is safe and what's going on. And they have a wide network of lash artists that they talk to and communicate with. And plus, Elliot is himself an engineer, so he understands a lot of science behind it. So they did their own research, and we thought we'd bring them on today and the episode to really break it down and talk about what's good, what's bad, what's worrisome. Are they pro? Are they against? Well, you'll find out. You'll find out where they stand on all this. Plus, we kind of just do an overall wrap. We talk a lot about our findings too as well. And we'll still do one more episode where Tuss will come up with their final thoughts. That'll be the next one. But today, you'll feel like it's a little bit of a summation episode. So it's really good. But before we get into all that, guys, we have announcements.
It's time for announcements.
Guys, LashCon tickets are on sale right now. We're excited to have you come to LashCon and don't want you to miss out on the largest, most impactful Lash Conference in the world. We last year had 1,300 people and we're aiming to do bigger than that this year. I wanted to highlight in this announcement here, the one of the things that makes LashCon special. There's many things, and we'll go through that over the next few months. You'll continue to hear me talk about all the different cool stuff, but really the trade show is quite different than anything else you'll see in the lash industry. Pretty much most, if not almost all the major lash brands come to LashCon. You won't see that at other conferences. They'll have one maybe or two, but LashCon, you can, if you want to see and compare and maybe shop around for possibly a new brand that you want to go with, maybe because you like their marketing, you like their values, you like their personality, whatever it is, you want to come to LashCon. This is really the ultimate shopping experience. Plus, they give you deals like Black Friday deals. So things are super discounted. There's a lot of giveaways. Plus, you get the swag bag from the sponsors and all that. It's going to be amazing. So you do not want to miss LashCon. It actually pretty much what you get between the swag bag and all the giveaways and stuff you get in the booths pretty much pays for your ticket. So you'll get, when you're done, I'm sure more than enough to justify you spending that $1,000 of the VIP. That for sure, I know you will. And even while we're going to have a little bit smaller bag for the general admission this year, you still get so many giveaways and so many other items when you're done. I mean, it's amazing. Plus, when you first show up, we give you a prize, by the way. When you show up at the door, even before you get the swag bag, we're like, hey, by the way, one of our sponsors wants you to have this, and we give it to you right where when you register or show up at registration. So do not delay. Ticket prices will be going up in May, so you want to get now at the lowest price, and there is a five-month payment plan in place, so you can spread it all out where you make your last payment in September just before LashCon, so do not stress. I know LashCon is expensive, but the payment plan I know makes it a little bit more doable. But I guarantee on the back end, what you're going to get out of LashCon when you're done is more than what you put into it. We will make sure the value between, one, just the connections you're going to make, the new networking you're going to make, but also the classes, the information that you get that's going to help you grow and find new ways to level up or inspire you to change your business. And then lastly, just the fun, just to get away from everything for a few days, get away from the stress of life. The holidays are just around the corner. So this is like your last hurrah before you go into the crazy season of November and December when you're working like a dog all the time. So this is that once a year homecoming where you come connect, meet your family, get inspired, and then you head back ready to take on the world for 2025. So anyhow, hopefully you will get your tickets. Go to the show notes or go to thelashconference.com today and get your tickets right now. We also, just a reminder, we're going to be at the PLA offices in Reno teaching business on May 6th through the 8th with a great lineup. Go to the show notes. You can see the information on that. Also, we're going to be in New York at the course on June 16th with our friends, which we just had them on, Pat and Steph. So you want to check us out, please be there. Also, we're going to be at the Orlando show on June 1st through the 3rd doing a mini LashCon. So more details on that to come soon, but that's going to be, we did that last year. We're back again, and we can't wait to hang out with our friends out there. We had like 600 Lash Riders show up last year over the 3 days. It was amazing, and we would look forward to seeing you all again. All right, that's all I have for announcements. Now let's get to our interview where we sit down with Maddie and Elliot and talk about UV lights. Hey guys, we're in the Lash Cast Studios doing what we do, and that's talking about UV light. Seems like forever, but that's because we really think this is a game changer. This is going to be something that I think 5 years from now will not be controversial anymore, but during the early stages, like anything new, it takes some time. It's like when volume first came up. I remember my staff telling me, oh, I don't know about volume. I'm not sure if this is going to ever take off. I'm like, slow down. This is going to be huge. Just stop it.
It's a pivot point.
It is a pivot point, just like volume was. So talking about volume, why don't we have two of the people really, or at least Elliot doesn't do volume, but Maddie is like the queen of volume. And so we thought we'd have him come on and talk about UV lights. So Maddie and Elliot from Lightheart, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
And welcome to
my two last brain cells.
Yeah. And last four brain cells.
Yes.
We're four brain cells all together.
We're double the power here. And by the way, if you're not following their podcast, My Last Two Brain Cells, you need to today. Go stop, pause right now. Go look up, save it. Put it on your queue and then come back and finish this episode, because you'll find that these are just really cool people doing great stuff. And then said they were never going to start a brand, and then 6 months later started a brand.
Never say never.
Yeah. So that's what my dad always said, never say never. And they did that. So also you should check out their brand Lightheart if you haven't already. I think everyone has bought their product at least once from you already.
I feel like our business at this point is just a series of me saying we'll never do this thing.
And then we do it.
And then you do it. Famous last words.
So my famous last words. Yeah, truly.
So that's what your podcast should be called.
My famous last words. Yeah, because 6 months ago, I think when I first became interested in the whole UV debate at the time, I was like, oh, I will never care about that, talk about that, think about that, like, let alone have opinions and like information on it. Here we are.
No, now I just, anytime Madison says I'll never do that, I just put it on our calendar for like 6 months to a year from now.
Yeah.
And then we just revisit. That's the strategy.
Yeah.
We should just do a whole episode of I Will Never and just see how many things you have lined up, and then we'll come back 6 months later.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Never Have I Ever Lash Edition.
That's good.
Never have I ever, one time or another.
And the longer you last, the more you surprise yourself with just like what you will figure out. And I mean, I was against ever having a storefront and a building for a minute of time. Like,
there you go. And I think that's because, I mean, I know the industry has changed, thank goodness, because back in the day, like 10 years ago, there was all these gatekeepers, I felt like, telling you, no, you can't do stuff. You can't do this, can't do that. You have to get approval from this small group of people who will remain unnamed. And basically, the industry's now changed. I feel like more people are dreaming bigger and trying new things and expanding and trying new techniques and all that. And you guys are a perfect example of that, of just saying, you know what? Let's just try this. Can't dream big enough. And I think you guys are doing a great job at that.
Well, I'm chomping at the bit here. Like, yeah. I think that's normal for any organism or any industry. Right. Because if you think about it, like when something first starts out, you have to have boundaries. Like when a baby starts to crawl, like a toddler, the parents are like, no, you can't go here. You can't, because you're going to fall down the stairs. There's boundaries. You cannot do here, because you cannot go past this line, because this means life or death. You cannot touch the hot stove, right? And so
as you go along and you learn and you get stronger and you survive, then you realize, oh, there's other things that I can do now that you have maturity and strength and the ability to reason and you have all your faculties. You can cross those boundaries and experiment with them and see what kind of colors you can create. So I think that's normal. Yeah. I think that when we first started out, there was boundaries there because we really didn't...
No one knew anything.
We didn't really know. It was a baby industry.
Yeah, if you made a mega volume fan, you'd go to jail.
That's yes, right. The last siren police would be blaring, and then the police would knock down the door. Yeah.
See, I learned as a young boy that you cannot spit on an incandescent light bulb because it'll explode on your face.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, I did that. Yeah, once I just saw a light bulb and I was over and go, what happens right now if I spit on this thing? And I did, and it exploded, and it was a great experiment. We learned these things.
I was so scared as a kid. I was too scared to do anything. Like that. I was a very wary child.
Okay, did you
I think I had the opposite problem.
Oh, really? See, I also liked to electrocute myself as a kid. I would stick wires into sockets, and me and my friend would be standing by, because we always heard, like, you freeze if you get electrocuted and you can't move.
What is
so
wrong with
my
you?
My friend would stand by and says, okay, you put the wire in, and I would do
oh
it,
my
and then he
God.
Would tackle
do
me
not
off
do
the
this
thing.
If anybody, if any child is listening.
I mean,
this is
like, I was like 8 or 9 at the time, and it explains
no,
why.
I did do, we had, like, canned air at my dad's shop. They had, like, canned air. I was like, oh, it's like air in a can. And so then I squeezed it into my mouth and breathed it in.
No!
And it turns out, that gets you high. But I didn't realize that. And so I did it. And I started getting lightheaded. I was like, oh, no, this is a bad idea.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was like doing it as a kid. I didn't know.
At least I was afraid you're going to. I have Mike in here like, where you do it upside down and it does that. Like, oh. Then I'd be like, oh, crap.
That would have been bad.
Okay. But, you know, let's get back to the UV light. So one of the things that happened is Elliot, basically back in January, early January.
Time flies.
When it was like pouring here, we reached out and we talked because they were doing some research on this thing called UV light. And we were in the middle of ours talking to some people and we started comparing notes and we're like, man, we really don't know a lot about this. We should really look more. And so we both parted ways. And then Elliot and Matt decided to open a brand during that time.
So busy, but we said
we should really talk again.
We should come back around. Circle
so this
the wagon.
Is it. This is a couple months later with a new brand, all this stuff happening. We've done a bunch of episodes and we thought we'd talk to Matt and Elliot because they've been doing their own thing. And obviously now as a brand, I'm sure they're even looking into, like, should we be carrying this same thing? Should we be offering this to our clients? So let's just start. What have you guys found out? What have you learned over these last few months?
One of the other big reasons that we haven't like made an episode on UV lash systems is because I think we're still very neutral on them. We did all the research at first because we were hearing some like horror stories, right? At first, as I'm sure you guys did.
Yeah.
And we were like looking into it to be like, okay, is this safe? Is this something that we need to come out like strongly against and be like, hey, stay away from this?
Yeah.
And
do we make a warning episode?
Exactly. Because we're like, this is a thing that's like actively hurting people and like need to talk about this. Exactly. But then as we look more into it, we were like, okay, if you're buying it from a reputable company, this is safe from what we've seen.
So the first thing that was like glaring to us was people were like, are the lights safe? Like there's light on the eyeball.
And like UV light can be scary and it can be dangerous in certain wavelengths.
But the first thing that we really were shocked by and we're like, oh, we can't make an episode like this right now, is that we surprisingly found out the lights from these reputable companies are safe. We've become very UV neutral, I would say.
Yeah. So like the lights that are used by the two that we've gotten enough data on to know that their lights are safe is Lash Apothecaries and Illuminos. All the other companies, I can't speak to those. If anyone asks us, I'm like, stay away from any other company.
We did reach out. We reached out
multiple times to all of them. They didn't get back to us with any safety information. So I'm like, I would stay away from them. I don't trust them.
But I would say that for any lash company.
Exactly. Any lash company, because like these are important products you're putting next to like your client's eyes. This is your livelihood. It's their safety. Any company who you're working with, obviously, you should be able to reach out to them and get safety information about their products. So forgetting about whether it's a UV lash company or not, if any company can't get that to you and isn't prompt to get back to you about that sort of thing, I would stay away from them. They're like, period. Then we started looking into the glue formulations and we're like, okay, what is different about these? Can we make sure that these are safe for eye use? Because like there's industrially used, there's a lot of like UV curing resins, which aren't eye safe, aren't human compatible. And so our concern was like, okay, what specifically are they using for these? And is it going to be safe for use around people's eyes? And so then what we learned is that all the reputable companies, all the large companies who are doing this, namely the ones that we were talking to, are using still cyanoacrylate-based adhesives. They have very similar formulas to regular lash adhesive. They just add a photo initiator to it. And so that's really the big difference. And I'm sure that's exactly what you guys found too.
We're not teaching you guys anything.
I love it. No, I wanted to get this from you guys because it's great to have a consensus. Like we're finding the same information along the way. It's not just me forcing what I want the world to believe because I often am able to do that. No, but I just would rather be like, wow, you guys did your own independent study.
As you're the president of the cult.
Yeah, I have this ability to use the Jedi mind tricks on people and all that. But that said, it's funny you should say that. The two brands we're going to have on, we were recorded, but we're going to be following up soon on our podcast, are Illumino and Lash Apothecary.
First one that we bought.
Well, that one
it
too,
was the first one that we bought, and we haven't been able to get the paperwork.
Another company too that
we
bought.
I have five systems that I bought. The thing is that it's really important. I mean, talking to Todd Harris, the PhD in physics and specialty in photonics, said if you have paid the piper, you have paid all the money to do these tests, you should be bragging about them.
Yeah.
And it really shows that you've done your due diligence. And if you don't have that, it's cause for alarm. At this point in the industry, I think that's a pretty good guideline. If you don't have the paperwork to show that you are ISO compliant, ANSI compliant, then you really have to stand on it because that's all that we have at this point. So I think it's a pretty good marker to know that you're safe if you have those the papers, the creds.
Yeah. And I was going to say the one brand I recently bought from, they literally reached out to me right away. We're still working on some stuff. We'll get to you soon. And then I wrote back, well, thanks for the quick response. I don't understand why there's a holdup on this. Can you give it to me? And they've ghosted me ever since.
Very good, safe, A-plus rating.
Yeah.
No, but
yeah.
That was one of the things is everyone's like, well, it's up to the lash artist to just do the research. But I'm like, if people like you and Tess and me and Elliot,
if we aren't capable
of doing the research, how do we expect someone that works at a salon to do the research? People with platforms and brands that are willing to say that this is safe, if we're not able to get the actual data, then you can't expect a lash artist to do the research because they're going to go on Instagram and look up, is this safe? And they're either going to hear that it is or it isn't. And after we did that, we interviewed Lash Apothecary and they were very transparent and sweet. And after that, we've really just been doing a lot of peer research. And any time I have, because we have such a big network of advanced artists. And so we can tap into that and be like, hey, what problem did this solve for you? Was this a pro or a con? Why did you start using it? And why did you stop using it?
Now? Really? Tell me. I'm so interested because that is not my experience, but I would love to hear what your feedback is.
Yeah, I was hoping that there was just one thing where 100% of people were just like, yes, it made my retention better. But from the peer data, I'm no scientist.
Yeah.
But
anecdotal.
Yeah, but that honestly is like the best that we can do right now because this is such a new technology. There's no way for us to get scientifically significant survey data because this is such a case-by-case thing. And different artists have had very different experiences with it. And so,
I've heard Extreme Pro, which I'm so happy for because I want people to find what works for them. And lashing is so personal. And I don't think there is just one way to do things perfectly or excellent. Like what's excellent to one is going to be excellent to a different person. And even just my own group of friends and renters, like people always ask like, oh, do your renters all do the same technique and use the same products? And I'm like, my renters could be selling drugs in those rooms. I don't care. Like, they don't.
I'm coming to your place.
I want. Yeah, literally.
Well, the nurse injectors sell drugs.
Oh, yeah, they do sell drugs.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I want to just do what is best for them. And if people have very pro experiences, the pros that I've heard from this are same as you, Tess.
I think we've seen like two main benefits.
Main benefits, yes.
And so the two main benefits we've seen are that you have less dependence on humidity for your using your glue. So artists who have historically had a lot of issues dealing with their humidity, some of them have found that it's easier for them to work with UV adhesives. And then the other main benefit is that for some sensitive clients, it can reduce their sensitivities. It is still, since it's still a cyanoacrylate-based adhesive, it's not still not good for people who have like an actual allergy, but it can decrease sensitivities in some clients. And so those are like the two, I'd say, main benefits that we've seen. What have you guys seen? Is that like similar, or do you see any other big reasons?
The reason why I love it is because the bond is so quick. My retention, I have always used a lot more adhesive and I try to cover a lot more surface area and I get all the way down to the base because that creates the best possible mechanical fit has always been my secret. So with this, it just is an added layer of wear. So when my clients come back in, I see them, I really see very little fallout. But with my technique, though, they're all level at the tips. I match the whatever the hair is doing. If it's in a baby antigen growth phase, I put a very small fan on it. So you don't see a lot of twisting or twirling. So basically what I'm seeing is a lot of the lashes coming back in.
And I think you're seeing, for you, your theory is that retention will be better. Even if you're an average lash artist who's gotten average results where you go 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you will actually, because of the curing process and how strong the bond is, even with a maybe poorly placed lash, it would still hold a little better than the traditional way of doing it.
That's true. So during this process, two of my petals have gone out.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And yeah, that is a problem.
From overuse.
From overuse. And one of the drawbacks is that petal, and by the end of the week, it is a little bit taxing. The shallower the petal, meaning that you don't have to press on it that much, when it's super acute
exaggerate,
like this,
yeah,
it's more wear and tear on the knee, the hip, everything. When it's a little bit more shallow, it's better. But when they went out, my first response was, oh, that really sucks, because going back to a traditional cyanoacrylate really was a drag. It was a drag. And I was not super happy with it because I did see more of a lag time. Now, there are drawbacks to that. The thing is, because it cures so quickly, you can still cure with not that great of a bond. And you can use less adhesive to create that small bond and it sticks, which is, you just have to be aware. I still think it's better than a traditional cyanoacrylate because you could do the same thing with that. But you still have to be on purpose with getting more of that stronger bond in order to get all of the retention. So, for example, when I first started using it, I was very precise and all the lashes would be coming in. And I would see very little wear. I mean, it was amazing. And then I started getting faster and realizing I didn't have to use as much adhesive. So I would do less. And those clients came in with normal retention, meaning that they were popping off. There was a little bit less. So I've gone back to now I have to be really on purpose about it. So if you're cutting corners and you're just kind of rushing through the work, you can decrease the amount of adhesive that you're using because it's so quick. But it's still better retention than just a plain old cyanoacrylate. That's what I think, a traditional adhesive. So I love it. I don't think that I'll ever be able to go back.
So when you were using like a traditional cyanoacrylate adhesive, what kind of dry time adhesive were you using? Because you're saying the UV lash glue is quicker. One of the things that we've seen talking to a lot of people is that their overall time for sets and fills, like between using a fast drying cyanoacrylate, like a half second to 1 second, and then switching over to a UV glue. One of the things we were asking people is like, oh, did it make your sets faster? Was your application faster? They all had very consistent timing between both. Like their sets before, if their sets were taking 2.5 hours, they were taking 2.5 hours with the UV glue. It wasn't really changing things from a time perspective for them. Did you notice that at all?
That's very consistent. You're absolutely right. But what I have noticed is that I'm able to lash more during that time.
Since you are faster because you're
getting... Yeah, my time is exactly the same.
But that's because you decided to keep it that way. You're saying, I know you said you were doing more applications during that time.
I do more.
Which is different from what we've heard. Like with a lot of the lash artists we talked to, we'd like to make sure it's like, okay, are you doing, what kind of coverage do you definitely do? Are you trying to lash 80% of the lashes or what are you trying to do? And they staying consistent there between before and after, we've still seen similar times, but I think that maybe it could be because you've gotten more practice with these. Maybe you've spent more time with them. You're getting more used to them.
Well, you started in October, right? I mean, it's been almost 6 months.
Yes. Okay. So let me explain how I lash. When I'm isolating and I pick up the glue and then I isolate, I place it on and I continue to move. I don't lift my hand off. I just move my tweezers into the next section and I minimize my movements. So I'll do in 1 minute, I might do 5 placements. So with a traditional adhesive, sometimes you can get stickies that way. So this time I'm doing the same thing, but I'm keeping the light on. The only time I take my foot off the pedal is when I bring a new placement on, because I don't want that to cure yet. So I just find that it's able to cure immediately so that there's no stickies happening. I don't have to worry about that. It's not really, it hasn't changed my technique at all. It's just that as soon as I put it on, it's completely cured, right?
That was pretty consistent with like a pro that we heard from a lot of our peers and everything, was just that like they could work very fluidly without worrying about stickies. As far as like the cons that we heard, which were not even cons, I would just say like just things to be wary about if you decide that this is what you want to do in your practice. Number one was, what was I going to say? I think it requires training. A lot of people are going into this thinking that it will solve all their problems that it claims. And chances are, if you're struggling with traditional adhesive, you're probably, we've seen that people,
you're going to struggle with UV
people
as well.
Worldwide. Yeah. I struggled with my adhesive and I had clients that were allergic, and then I switched over to this and I had just the same problems, but now I'm working with different machinery. So I would love artists to just be aware that like with anything, there needs to be like training on how to use what you're using. Whether you're using traditional cyano acrylate, whether you decide a UV system is best for you, it is a learning curve. And it's not just like a fix-all no matter what you're using.
And I think we see that it's like, if you are a technically good lash artist with traditional cyanoacrylate adhesives, those are the people who have had good success with UV systems.
Because in general,
everything else is good. And the reason that they will switch and enjoy it is just because they prefer the workflow of a UV system over the workflow. And so UV lends itself, I think, to that. If you're someone who has a kind of a different workflow, it makes sense for you to do things in a different order. You could have better results with a cyanoacrylate adhesive. It really depends on just how you want to lash.
I think the biggest thing we're trying to say is the people that kind of are like buying these from a Facebook ad and thinking it'll solve all their issues, they are
running into the same issues.
Yes, it's not really solving for them, because the number one thing, no matter what you use, is your application has to be impeccable and precise and tight and use enough adhesive, and you're building your speed and your repetition. No matter what you use, that has to be. So what I'm finding is, because our kind of niche is the advanced artists, that's who we sell our product to. And they've all said when they've switched over to UV adhesives, it didn't really solve a problem for them. It just became a different workflow for them.
Yeah.
And so they used it for like 2 or 3 months. And then they were either like, well, I'm going to go back to my regular adhesive because that's just what's comfortable for me. Or they stick because they've now become comfortable with that. The issue becomes the beginner market, where they haven't mastered that application yet. And they're hoping that this will be the system for them. And there can be, unfortunately, misuse the same way that you can with a traditional system.
And I think we would recommend against beginners using UV systems. I think I feel pretty confident about that, because I think the dangers of misuse with a UV system are more concerning than the dangers of misuse with standard cyanoacrylates, because you have the added danger of, if you don't cure the UV glue thoroughly, then your clients can run into issues for the next days or weeks of that glue running into their eyes and causing issues, which is something we've seen a couple times. But I want to be very clear, that's like because of misuse. That's not like an issue with like the product itself.
Yeah.
But I think beginners are much more prone to that type of misuse. And so we would recommend against it until you've gotten to the point where you're like comfortable with a regular cyanoacrylate. And then you can like decide for yourself whether you prefer the workflow of a UV glue. And I would recommend against using it to try and solve issues you're specifically running into with like the standard industry standard products.
Hmm. I love what you've said. And I think that you really teased it apart very well, very astute observations. So kudos to you. What I love is that yeah, I think what it does is it just changes the workflow. If you are already able to lash effectively, you're able to get good bonds, it will just improve the flow. It changes the flow.
Yeah.
If you're a bad lash artist, you'll still be a bad lash artist. Like, I was going to start doing this myself because I figured this is my breakthrough moment. I'm going to do UV light and be as good as Tuss.
No, you're still going to have problems. You still have to nail the skill. You still have to own the skill.
I want a cheat code. I want to just skip ahead and just...
Well, I know. I want to go back, and I know that you're trying to make jokes here, but I don't want to forget my thought.
You have a thought?
I do. I have a thought. I have a thought. So, and it's about learning, using any new technology or new tool for your skill set. So I just got a new pair of loops, and I had been wanting them for some time. They're the ones that are Infinity View. They're by Design for Vision. So the lenses go straight down like a periscope.
So you look forward, and then but you're basically the lenses
straight down.
Go down.
And I was just like, this is going to be amazing because my neck is going to be fabulous. I'm going to have better ergonomics than I already do. I'm going to be superpower, right? So I put those suckers on. I was so excited. And I'm like, oh, no, I wasn't counting on the whole way that my eyes are seeing. The whole field of vision is completely different.
You see it from the top now, Steph.
So my hands, it's like if you're trying to do your own part in the back or you're trying to do your own hair color, it's really hard to do it from the back. I tell everybody who starts with loops, there is a period of
adjustment.
It's like you're trying to ride a bike. When you first get on that bike, you're going to fall over. You're going to skin your knees for about 2 weeks. Before you actually learn to ride that bike, your brain kicks in. It's the same thing with the loops. So there's two systems. There's the system where it's just a gooseneck clamp, and then there's one where it's a tweezer system. The one where the tweezers go in and the curing is on the actual unit, when you use your fingers pressing against the button, it changes the way that you apply the lashes. And there is an adjustment that's uncomfortable because you have built up your muscles and your skill set to do it a certain way. And with that tool changes it. I'm not saying that you can't learn through it. Of course you can, but there is an adjustment period. Also with that system, the light is super small and it's designed that way to give less irradiance to the surrounding tissue and just to protect it. But because it's small like that, it's very dependent on where it's being shown. So if it's not exactly on there, what I found by using that one, targeted
specifically,
and these are learning mistakes. I'm not saying you can't master them, but I did have more missed connections and sometimes the extension coming up because it wasn't cured because the light wasn't completely on it. And that's part of that learning curve. So while my leg was loving it, my fingers and my hands, it was a little bit more frustrating because it's just changing the way you do the lashes. It's you're holding a tool. It's got more weight to it. The way that you hold your tweezer changes just slightly. And you're also less likely to just be able to put it down because it's looped around your wrist and that kind of thing. There is a little bit more of a learning curve when the tool is different. If it's just the gooseneck lamp, it's easier. And because the radiance is a little bit wider, that covers a multitude of sins. So it doesn't have to be as precise. So every time you take a new tool, you are going to be changing or adding to your learning time, I guess it is.
Tussany, we haven't talked to as many people who've used the Illumino system as much.
I always ask them what system they use.
And it's always the like gooseneck systems is like more popular. With the Illumino, with the tweezer mounted system, do you think long-term, how does that affect like the ergonomics of like your hand health? Because you do have like more things for your fingers to do and there's like more weight there. Do you think long-term, because you're, I think, probably one of the most experienced people who've used this system and you're like very aware about like long-term like health and ergonomics of everything. What do you think there are going to be the long-term impacts?
I think it would be fine because her system is quite light. It's just, there is a little bit of a ramp up period where it's going to be a little uncomfortable. Just like when you're using your loops, you're a little bit tense because you're hunching your shoulders and you're going back and forth trying to find that sweet spot that, you know, and so when you're learning, there is going to be adjustment when you're getting that sweet spot. But I think that it's pretty good. And I don't think that there's too much with that. The system works well if the tweezer is magnetized. So not my tweezers that I use aren't magnetized. So I have to tape them in there. And they're also a little bit shorter. I prefer a shorter tweezer. And most of the tweezers that it's made, it's just, so it's a little bit awkward for me. And I'm not super adept with that. And sometimes I try to spend at least 20 minutes every day building up. Sometimes I do. I will do one whole thing, but sometimes I just get tired of it. And if I'm in a hurry, I won't practice with it. But so there's just, it is a little bit fussy for me right now. And I just don't want to, I just haven't bit the bullet to just put my regular tweezers down. But I think that it would be okay. If you were given an Illumino system from the very first time that you started doing lashes, you probably wouldn't notice it.
Yeah.
You would just learn how to do it like that.
So it's like 18 years of experience doing it one way. And all of a sudden now you've got this whole new thing. It takes a little...
The only thing that I would suggest, I mean, and maybe in terms of design, is that the irradiance on that system would be a little bit wider just to cover a little bit more of the multitude of sins.
Make it wider, though. They would need to have like a larger LED then because the focus would be larger. So then the whole system would have to get bigger, which I think is the reason that it is so narrow. More so like the design constraints than the irradiance is like the reason, because with Illumino specifically, they are so far under like the recommended irradiance levels that I don't think they would run into any issues if they made it a stronger light. I think the issues are that it would be heavier and it would be a bigger system. With the gooseneck ones are quite a bit more irradiance. They're still under like what is like the maximum allowed. They're about from the numbers we got from like Lash Apothecary, they're at about 60% of what's like the maximum allowed blue light irradiance that's recommended by like the ANSI standards. So they have like about a 40% safety margin there, which is like a reasonable safety margin. But yeah, that's, I think, one of the big reasons for that one.
Yeah, the batteries are very light.
It's actually extremely light. It's I was shocked how light it was. But I think you said exactly, the light has to be small LED. It can't be powered by big light. Otherwise, you need more batteries and more gear. And then it would be, I think, cumbersome to use and all that.
If anyone wanted to start out using that system, I mean, like a baby lash artist, there's a lot of things that you have to keep your eye on. But if you started from the beginning, I think that it would be super easy for you to latch on because you're learning all the stuff anyway. It's just another thing to consider, right? So I envy people that would start that way. I think that's a lot of things to keep an eye on. It might be hard for a beginner, but...
Well, it's just more things to think about. And I think it's not a bad idea to say, look, learn the standard traditional ways. Probably not bad advice at all. And then you move into it and you can try the different systems. And one of the things, hopefully it'll be nice that if you come to LashCon, you can try these different systems. I know Lumino is going to be there, it looks like. Lash Apothecary is going to be there. And I'm guessing, I don't know about you guys, but from what I've heard, all the glue manufacturers are working on their own light systems now. So there might be just an explosion of systems and variable. Like we saw one at the IBS show in New York that goes around your wrist. And then there's another tweezer company that they attach differently than the way Illumino does it. So
I have that one too.
Everyone's coming out with different models, different takes. And it's really going to be, it's like the Wild West right now. There's going to be, like the key word you said earlier was, is it a reputable company? Because Todd Harris, we were trying to get him to nail down, like, just tell us, safe or not safe? He goes, I can't give you that. It really, there's two big issues. One, you don't know who the company is. You can't trust that they're safe. Then you probably shouldn't go. Like this one company, I can't get any facts from them. Secondly, you can't count for how it's used. Like if someone uses it incorrectly, like you said, doesn't aim their light right and cure all the way, then they're going to walk around with dripping glue off their eyes because they thought they cured it. And that's not going to be good for them. So I think those are the two big factors, which really, in the end, we have no control over. We can just do the best we can and hope that no one dies.
Yeah.
No one's dying.
Basically, because I know people, just because they want an official stance. And I would really just say, like, our official stance, what I would tell anyone in my DMs, what I would tell anyone in person is, like, if you're a beginner, if you are within your first 6 months of lashing, application, precision application with high-quality products that are, like, ergonomic, and safe for the client and are tested and are time tested. Do all that first. And really, once you get to like 3 week retention with your clients and you're comfortable with your setup, you're feeling good, your clients are feeling good, and you also are comfortable with your consultation process and with your protocol if something goes wrong. Once you have become so confident in all of those areas of your career, then I think UV systems become a preference.
It becomes an option for you that I think is prudent to consider.
It becomes an option for you that if it fits well with what you're doing,
then you can consider
by all means.
But it is like an additional thing you're adding on top, which we still believe that it is important to master the fundamentals first.
before you add that on top, because there is just, it's just more to think about. And it's like lashes are already difficult enough to learn that adding on the other stuff, like I think, like you were saying before, if a baby lash artist was first starting out, they did this system, I think overall they would be better served learning with standard cyanoacrylate products than with this, because I think it could contribute to them learning some like bad habits about like retention or placement that could be covered up by using a UV system. And then additionally, those added dangers of using a UV system are, because they're a little more prevalent with beginner artists, I think it's just not a risk that it makes sense for a lot of people to take. And on that note, anyone who does use a UV system, the big thing, like especially with like medium to more advanced lash artists, the thing that we recommend and to all of them who ask us is to confirm with your insurance provider that they cover these systems, because we have heard from multiple artists that their insurance providers that they currently have say they will not cover them. And
this is mainly a problem overseas.
It's mainly overseas, but we've heard some in the US as well. It's definitely like in the UK, especially, like absolutely, like you need to make 100% sure, because a lot of the insurers in the UK don't, and some in the US don't. I know a lot of the brands that sell these products, like Lash Apothecary, they have insurers that they know will cover it.
The brand will like tell you.
Yeah. And so if you want to just like switch insurers to one that like they recommend, then you're covered there. But then the other thing that we definitely recommend is talking to a ophthalmologist in your area, an eye doctor in your area, and talk to them about these products that you're using and explain to them how they work. And like, they're still cyanoacrylate based adhesives. They have this UV photo initiator, and then just start that relationship with an eye doctor in your area, so that if any of your clients do have issues, you can refer them to this eye doctor to help them out. Because one of the other issues that we have seen is clients who have had bad experiences with a UV system. Maybe they have weird allergies or something.
It's been a lot scarier for them than if they were to have like an allergy to a traditional adhesive, because, and obviously with this explosion, eye doctors and doctors in general are going to adapt.
It'll be less of a problem over time.
Of course. But it's like when I first started out in Alaska and I first had my client with an allergy, there was no one that could help them, because they just were saying, well, you're allergic to the extensions themselves, the PBT fiber. Like, they didn't know until I like a bit of a, and then I got with my own eye doctor, and I was like, hey, this is what I'm using on my clients. This is like the standard ingredients for what people are using. If I have a client suffer with an allergy, can you tell me what it would be like best practice to tell them to do, and what's in my scope of practice and what's in your scope of practice? And we were able to like build that relationship. So when I had a client have an issue, I wasn't scared as their service provider, and I was able to give them information so they weren't scared. I could be like, hey, this is a common thing. We can alleviate this. We can get your symptoms down. We have solutions for you. But with UV things, what I'm finding is a lot of UV artists, everything is fine and dandy until something goes wrong. And then unfortunately, they don't really have that backup, that medical backup to know how to properly care for their client in that situation. So I would just say, if you switch to UV, that's your preference, make sure that you have a protocol in place for if you do have someone have a reaction or a sensitivity.
Because the resources are out there at this point, and it's common enough, like most eye doctors are familiar enough with standard lash extension products, that if you send your client who's having issues with regular lash extensions to a doctor, they'll know how to deal with that. But as of right now, most doctors are who, if they hear, oh, they were using UV lash extensions, they're going to be like, that sounds crazy. I've never heard of this. I know about regular lash extensions, but they're not going to be equipped. They're not going to understand yet how they need to deal with it.
I completely agree with you. This has been one of my soapboxes for years.
Yeah, it cuts out when we're doing Zoom.
Oh, sorry. I said, get on the soapbox.
Yay, get on the soapbox. Okay, so the thing is that, yes, every lash artist should have a good relationship with their local, it could be an optometrist even. Sometimes the ophthalmologists can be hit or miss, because some of them are very much like, they don't do anything cosmetic, and they're just like, what are you doing with those plastic things on your lashes? Take those things off. They're super grumpy about it. So But having somebody that you can refer to that's on your side, that's not going to throw you under the bus when something comes up, is super important. And so I think that it's very important to talk to every single client that walks in the door, every single new client, about the possibility of developing contact dermatitis. And I love to say contact dermatitis because I really want to get away from allergy, because I think allergy can be super confusing.
Well, it's actually wrong.
People think allergy and they will think, oh, it's like hay fever, so that means I can take a Benadryl. It's not the same kind of an allergy.
Or it's an irritant, as we found out.
So I say to every new client, we have to talk about the possibility of developing contact dermatitis. So what that is, it's red, swollen lids, maybe itchy, the day after your service. And it's a very easy fix if that happens to you. It's rare, but it's easy to fix. And you're going to see a doctor. Can be any doctor, but you're going to tell that doctor two things. The first thing is you're going to say, I may have contact dermatitis, because that clues the doctor into what it is. And the second thing is I may need a topical steroid prescription. It's going to be an ointment, and you're going to put it on the lash line as if it were eyeliner. And you're going to wear it. You might have to use it for a couple of days. You're not using it for the whole month. It's going to take about 50% of that swelling down. And so the next time you come in, what I want you to do is I want you to put it on the night before. If you forget, don't. We're going to do your lashes just like normal. But right there on the table before I'm finished, I'm going to clean you. I'm going to wash you, cleanse you with cleanser, and rinse you really well. And then if you bring your ointment in, I'll put it on for you, or you can put it on when you first get home. And you might have to use it for a couple of days, but again, it's not for the whole month. And that will often mitigate the inflammation. So that's the basic. And if you need to listen, stop it and go back, you can, because that's actually verbatim what I tell every single person. I occasionally have the need for people who develop contact dermatitis with the eyelash extensions. And I need somebody to take those referrals and take care of those people. And so there's five things that you can do if you have an issue with the eyelash extensions. There's only one that I recommend. I don't know if I want to go through them all right now, but
no,
it's basically a sheet that I will give the doctor and say, these are the things that we can do, but these are the things that I recommend. If you're in agreement with those things, I'll send my people to you. And oftentimes that's the most wonderful way to start the conversation. And if you guys are interested in getting that handout,
sure. Email me at paul@lashcast.com and I'll send it to you.
Yeah,
I have so much time right now.
I know he's not very enthusiastic right now about it, but
I'm not sleeping this last week.
Well, do you want? How about we send it to you guys and you can distribute it on your.
Yeah.
Whatever. Sorry. We'll do it. So if you're interested in that handout, you just put it together in a folder. You introduce yourself to the front desk girls. You're super nice to them. And here's an opportunity for you to do their lashes so that they can refer their patients to you as well.
And usually these are higher end clients, the ones that if you go to a really respectable doctor, you'll get the type of clients that are ideal.
But I wanted to go back.
You wrote a note there.
Agree with you. It's the first time I've ever thought about it is this conversation right now about should people start out on a UV system? And I actually think the answer is no. I think that they should start out with a traditional cyanoacrylate, because you're going to get the feel for it. And you're also going to have something to rely on in case your UV system.
Can you imagine it breaks and you can't do anything?
You can't do anything. So it's a good start.
Oh, I was just saying like your UV system, you're using your phone flashlight. You're like, well, this one.
Yeah.
You start breathing on it.
You are reliant then on another thing that isn't commonly available. Like that is one other benefit of like standard products is that say something happens with your adhesive, in most cities, you can go someone selling lash products somewhere. If your UV lash system breaks, it's going to take you at least a week to get a replacement. And if you're doing like 20, 30 clients a week, that's a lot of money that you're losing out on. Unless you want to buy like a backup system, but then these systems are usually like $600 to $1,000. And that's a lot of money to invest in having a backup system.
Exactly.
I was going to say, we've broken how many? Yeah. Two or three.
And so now I have two systems and they're right next to me. And the other thing is that you should see my glue supply. I'm like a doomsday prepper because I am so afraid of being without a light carrying adhesive.
And I don't think most people want to spend the resources for it. I mean, we can't get people to buy loops for crying out loud, let alone have multiple light systems. And I mean, we're weird. We have five, but most people, one's plenty
first generation,
because that first generation is going to have bugs. It's going to have problems.
I do want everyone to go, but I will plug LashCon really fast because I first went in 2019 and I had been lashing for 3 years and I had taken more lash trainings in those 3 years than anyone I've ever known in my life. And when I was at LashCon, it was the first time that I ever got like accurate, usable information about how to treat my clients with allergies.
And contact dermatitis.
Yay! It was so beneficial for me because I had really, I think thankfully hadn't had a whole lot of horror stories up until then. But after that, I experienced like anyone, maybe one a year, like inflammation or whatever. And every single time it made me so much more confident of an artist to know what was happening, to know what I could tell them without scaring them. And now, and ever since then, my own trainings have really been built on that foundation of what I learned in 2019. And then I've never had a client have a negative experience with me because they maybe developed contact dermatitis once or twice.
Because you know how to deal with it.
Exactly.
Known, this is fine. Here's what you're going to do. There's nothing you could do or me. We got this. I'm not going to have you cook up some potion at home.
We're not going to rub Flonase on your eye.
It all starts with the educators. And so by equipping little baby me in 2019, there's been hundreds and hundreds of people that have been able to benefit from just accurate information. So that's my little LashCon plug is like, I really do believe you're going to learn things that will just benefit you hugely when the time comes. It might not sound glamorous. Like no one wants to like, I don't want to pay a lot of money to sit in a room and learn about contact dermatitis. Like ew. But it's so
when you need to know it,
situations happen to you, mm-hmm. you wish you were there.
Exactly. Yeah. It makes you more professional. Right. It makes you more confident in your craft. It gives you that next level mastery. You've been doing lashes for a long time and now you know how to handle like anything that walks through the door.
I'm going to hop off that because I can't talk about LashCon enough right now because I'm addicted to it. But what you just said was really encouraging to hear because this year I think is going to be our most intense year yet because the lineup that we brought in, we're bringing in one of the leading doctors in the nation on contact dermatitis, Dr. Matthew Zyrus. He wrote a book on it.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. You guys, I'm totally nerding out. He is like, it is such a coup to get him. I mean, he is the man about contact dermatitis.
And he's actually really fun to talk to and entertaining. He's not like a lot of doctors.
He's got personality.
That bore you to death. He's really fun. So we have him. We actually have Dr. Luck coming in. There's an optometrist that come in and talk about dry eyes.
Famous Todd Harris.
He is going to come and be there and be part of that panel along with Sue Jen, as well as Dr. Stout, who's our ophthalmologist, as well as Michael Becker, who's a chemist. So we're going to have like everything covered on that panel. We're going to have every angle. And what else we have? I mean, we have Loom, the robotics company. We're going to be talking about lash robots. And it's going to be controversial.
Are you doing a lash robot panel?
Not a panel, but we are going to have the creator, Nathan or Nate Harding, who's the CEO of Loom. We're actually on their board, and they're going to come and speak. And I've joked with Nate, like there might be pitchforks and fire prepared for you as you get on stage because it's going to be controversial. It's going to be really interesting. So we're going to be dealing with UV robots, everything.
You keep hyping this up. I know that some people are angry about it, but it just represents a lot of opportunity for us. It actually does because these robots need to be operated by lash artists.
Yeah. They're actually hiring lash artists to run the robots. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to meet them actually. Cause like anytime I see the Loom videos, all the lash artists are throwing tomatoes and everyone's like, we made them for you.
I know.
I know. It just opens the door. There's more people. It's like any industry, there's going to be movement. It's not going to replace you. People are needed to operate it.
They hated it.
The tailor.
The tailor is not seems. I don't know what I'm
talking
about.
Yeah, in France.
There were riots.
There
were mobs against the sewing machine. So,
yeah.
And no one's mobbing against the sewing machine today. So it's going to be the same idea. It's not going to replace.
Vending machines. Are they replacing people? No, because you can still go and get food cooked at a restaurant. No.
I enjoy it. You can get all your food from vending machines.
You can.
Wonderful. It's actually really crazy. Disturbing in some ways. Like I can't buy milk from a vending machine. I just think
you can
it's going to be ruined.
They have the systems to do it.
Yeah, they're smarter than us.
I believe I'm so excited for LashCon and the variety of conversations and topics and educators. I think it'll be really beneficial. And at the end of the day, I think there is a place for all of it in some way.
Yeah. No, there will.
I'm very excited. A booth there.
Yeah,
you guys always bring the fun.
No, they're going to have a booth there. And then Maddie's teaching a class on Friday, Lash Lab, which is actually, it's really special because it's where you really get to go deeper with people like Maddie who know their stuff. And these classes are really affordable. It's like $150 for a 3-hour sit down with Maddie, and she'll demo stuff, and all our different other trainers will do it. It's a great deal.
And you've already had a lot of ticket sales.
Yeah, we're already sold, I think, almost a... Was it like a fifth of all your tickets, I think, through your class? So,
we
never sell that early. Yeah. We usually sell Lash Labs, like things, people buy those in August and September, like as they, once they get close to LashCon, we don't usually sell any.
So we're thinking, if you want to jump on Maddie's class, you better purchase it now.
They'll be sold out by June.
Yeah, it's going to be sold out. So good job.
How many tickets are there for Madison's?
Right now, I might try to move you to a bigger room, but right now it's technically 75. So I'm looking, we'll see how it goes. I mean, if it gets to the point where we sell out like June, I might go back to the hotel and start.
See if we can get a bigger stage.
Move things around and all that. So, I mean, if people want the class, I don't want to deny them. We've sold out only a few times. I think Ali sells out usually. We've had Otto in the past. Otto sold that class.
I think we've sold a third of your tickets.
That much, but don't get their hopes up.
The math, what you told me, that's what I'm thinking.
It's a lot more than normal. So just LashCon. So you guys are killing it. Yeah. Everything you do right now, it turns into gold. So good for you guys.
I appreciate the opportunity because a 3-hour lash class at LashCon, like that is my dream teaching scenario because like I love to speak, but teaching is just my comfort zone. It's my happy place. Like it's what I love, love, love to do. I love to speak, but I love to teach. So I'm really excited for that little 3-hour thing. And I honestly, I'll pack so much into it. I'm going to sound like I'm on 3X speed because I'm going to really try to pack as much as I can into it.
8 hours of content in 3 hours.
I have a question for you, Maddie. Do you teach in an outfit as cute as you wear when you're at a trade show?
I am a total collector. I just love collecting things in my life. And one of the things I collect is dresses for trainings. And it's been fun because yes, I dress up every single class. I've never taught a class without wearing a little dress and heels and making it special because I just feel like it makes people feel like it's a special occasion, which it is. And it's the other reason why I keep my group classes one a month, because I want them to feel special and not repetitive and not just tired for people. And so, yeah, I remember my first training, I wore a little dress and heels. Every class, I'm going to get a brand new outfit. And now I have this room in my house that's just racks and racks of white dresses. And it's just marked. I can remember every student that I trained in each one.
Holy mackerel.
And it's cool to look back and be like, wow, like in nothing. I used to just go to Forever 21 and buy a bunch of dresses for each student because I'm like, it felt like a little reward. Like every training, that's my little, I get a cute new outfit and it signifies another student taught and I'll always remember that day. So yes.
That's really cool. Sweet.
I have something similar. I have a different underwear that I use in every training. That's really unique to me.
There's some in the middle.
It's special. No, I'm so sorry.
Cut the mic.
I know. Yeah. Cut the mic.
Yeah. I want that to be the teaser at the beginning of the podcast. The first thing they hear about, Diego, just put this. I'm talking about my underwear. I want that at the beginning.
There's something really nice about men's underwear. It's actually my favorite thing to sleep in. I'll just sleep in the men's underwear.
For all of us.
Can you repeat that? Because I'm sure you said something super cute, but we couldn't hear it.
I do love that events are like a little fashion show for us. And you've like set the tone for that. But I love it because most lash artists, like we don't leave our studio all day and including me. And so, yeah, I plan my events for these things like 6 months in advance.
Oh, yeah. She's bought probably half our outfits already for LashCon and it's got 6.5 months away. So she's very much planning. And the pressure's on now because we get so many DMs like, I can't wait to see what Tustin's wearing. No one ever says they're excited about me wearing anything. I guess they just don't care. But there's a lot of anxious people about what they're going to wear. And this year we announced our themes already. So
super fun.
Anyhow, we're way ahead.
Our coffee hat.
Yeah, I see you right now. So anyhow, we should probably go.
You got a client coming in, right?
Tuss has one too soon. And it's been a pleasure as always. And so the overall, thing where we're all coming to, I think, which, by the way, you sound a lot less neutral than, I almost feel like you guys almost are like, yeah, it's good. You can go use it. Like, we're just where we're leaning.
But, are you still saying you're neutral?
But you stay neutral.
I think we're pretty neutral on it. We're not against it. But I think it's something that like, it's really a preference thing. And I think that's why we're neutral on it. If you find that you enjoy using the UV system more and it's easier for you, then use it. But I wouldn't say you should use it or you should not. It's really like whatever works for you. Everyone has different tastes And some people like to isolate with straight tweezers. Some people like to isolate with curved tweezers. I wouldn't say one is better than the other. It's just a preference. And I'm the same way about UV glue. Some people would prefer with their workflow to use it. Some people would prefer not to. I think Madison, her workflow doesn't lend itself to a UV glue. And so she would prefer not to. But I think someone like you, Tuss, your workflow and the way you like to lash does lend itself to it. And so you would. And so that's why I think we are on the fence about it.
Yeah.
Not on the fence as whether it's like safe or not, but on the fence as to whether like you could go either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pre-mades, volume, all these things are preferences, whatever you like, what works best for you. And I think that's the world I'd like to live in. I always say when it comes to lashing, it's not a matter of right or wrong. It's usually a matter of what you prefer.
It's preferences.
Do you like chocolate? Do you like vanilla? Go with what you like.
You have to have chocolate.
Yeah.
It's only ridiculous.
Yeah, only chocolate for you. All right.
You guys know where to find us. I'm on Life Hurt Lash on Instagram. And if you're in Scottsdale, you can find us at 6969 East Shea Boulevard.
That's your brains out. Lightheartlash.coffeeshop. Be there or be square.
Yeah. I mean, I feel bad. We were in Arizona 2 weekends in a row, which never has happened in my life. And I didn't get to your coffee shop, which was very sad. But, well, next year.
You'll have plenty of chances to come, Paul.
Yeah, we're going to come. We're going to just make special trips out and see you guys. So I'm like, you know what? I probably shouldn't do that during the show. We'll leave that off air. And otherwise, guys, it's been a pleasure as always. Thanks for coming on and sharing your insights about UV light. And we will hopefully have you guys again sometime soon.
You too, guys. Thank you so much.
Hey guys, guess what? That's a wrap. We're done. We're out of here. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Please follow us on Instagram at Lashcast and at The Lash Conference. Remember to subscribe, share, and review. On behalf of my Lash Baby doll, Tustany, as well as our special guests, Maddie and Elliot, I want to thank you for taking some time to listen. Keep on lashing, and remember, you're a friend in the lash industry.